Okay, thanks very much for the introduction, Armando. I am here to talk about trying to extract some higher resolution property maps out of our nonlinear inversion algorithm. So a basic overview of an MRE experiment. We start with applying some sort of harmonic vibration, measure the motion fields, then apply some sort of an inversion algorithm, and then from that we recover our property maps. So if we look at sort of each part of this experiment and what determines the effective resolution of the properties we can get out. Firstly, is the choice of vibration frequencies, how many motion fields you measure, how repeatable, you know, you're measuring these motion fields over a long time, so how repeatable they are. All of that determines artifacts and resolution. During the actual measurement phase, obviously, if you've got a higher quality motion field, so if you've got better signal-to-noise ratio and fewer artifacts, you're going to be able to get better resolution properties out. And during the inversion algorithm, you've got like pre and post processing and assumptions in your algorithm, including a very important thing is the choice of model. So if you're fitting the wrong model to your data, then you're going to get like a lot of errors, which to me is poor resolution. And then also the regularization strategies that you apply during your numerical techniques that a lot of people have talked about today. So if we look at the actual resolution of motion data, so in the earlier days, you can see people were using sort of resolutions around about sort of 3, 4, maybe 5 millimeters. And then in the more recent studies, they've improved by a lot. You can see there's a 7T study by the group here at Charité, and then also some of the high resolution inversion work from Eric Barnhill. They've got some much higher resolution property maps here. And we're kind of, this is our results here. We haven't really improved that much in the actual properties, the actual resolution of our properties, despite having much better motion data. So we want to kind of retune our algorithm to try and sort of work in this sort of a much higher resolution area. So the data we collected for the study, this is from Curtis Johnson. He just took three acquisitions of the same person at 2 millimeters, 1.6 millimeters, and 1.25 millimeters. I don't really know anything about MRI, so if you can ask him about it if you're interested in how he did that. But basically, you can measure motion fields at this pretty high resolution in a 3T scanner with good signal-to-noise ratio and stable inversions, so and in a reasonable amount of time. So the aim of the study is we want to take these three different motion data resolutions and investigate how the parameters in our nonlinear inversion algorithm affect the recovered resolution of our properties. So if I'm going to talk about how the nonlinear inversion MRE affects your property resolution, we need to be a bit more specific about what it is we actually do compared to normal. So what we take the 3D property map, oh, so 3D motions, and then also the geometry, and create this three-dimensional finite element model. Then we use the subzone technique. So we divide. This is a huge problem. So it's not really computationally efficient to run it all at once. So we break it into these 3D overlapping subzones. And then each of these subzones are processed independently in parallel to speed up computation time. And then, so each subzone goes into the subzone iteration loop where we start with the current property estimate, calculate a numerical solution on a finite element model. So this is a heterogeneous, like viscoelastic or poroelastic model. In this case, we're using viscoelasticity. Then we apply some sort of update to these properties in order to minimize this error function. And this error function has got a few different terms. It's got the displacement error, which is just the squared difference between the model displacement at the current property estimate and the measurements. So this is minimized when the model looks exactly like the measurements. And you've also got these regularization terms. And then the one in particular that I'm talking about in this today is total variation minimization. So then this is penalizing property gradients. So it's looking for sharp property transitions in homogeneous regions. And then the subzone iteration loop, we don't actually drive this to complete minimization each time. We just repeat this. We apply a certain number of updates to each subzone. And then we collect all the subzones up, and then we build the global property solution by merging. It's taking the union of all these different subzone solutions. Then we apply a Gaussian smoothing, which we call spatial filtering. And then we break it up into a new grid of subzones and then repeat this until the property estimate stabilizes. So rather than like making sure that the error is zero, the subzone technique means that we just wait till the property estimation stabilizes and isn't moving anymore. That's kind of how we decide when it's converged. So if we want to look at the specific factors that influence how what the resolution of the properties are. Obviously, a major one is going to be this Gaussian smoothing. We're applying a direct smoothing to our properties, so more smoothing is going to be poorer resolution, less smoothing, better resolution, but you're also running the risk of instability. This spatial filtering is required to make the method converge, otherwise we start to get clearly wrong answers. The other one is the number of conjugate gradient iterations per subzone. So this is kind of saying how big a step we're making in between smoothing operations. So these two effects, the number of great iterations and the smoothing, are kind of working against each other. One's going somewhere, like moving towards a minima, and the other one's kind of smoothing it back out of that. And then also the form of this objective function. So this is this total variation minimization term. So this promotes sharp property transitions in homogeneous regions. It's just kind of telling the algorithm a little bit about what sort of solutions you're expecting. So what we call our standard inversion parameters, we determined these back in 2012, some work with Curtis. And it's based on repeatability of like whole brain estimates and reasonably large structures. So we were looking at the corona radiata and corpus callosum. And then, so basically we just use a 1.5 millimeter Gaussian smoothing kernel, two conjugate gradient iterations per zone, no total variation minimization in the viscoelastic model. So pretty much everything that we've published since then has been using that. And also at this workshop, all of our phantom reconstructions using the same thing, just in the interest of having a stable inversion. But with this new higher quality motion data, we're kind of looking to improve the resolution of our property maps. So that I kind of held everything at the standard value and just started changing one thing at a time. So this is the spatial filter width. So you can see at these very, very small spatial filter widths, we're not doing much smoothing at all. This is what happens when it becomes unstable. So these results are clearly wrong. They don't really converge properly. But what you can see is that at this very high resolution motion data, you can apply a lot less smoothing. So we can handle like maybe 0.5 or 0.6 millimeters of smoothing and still remain stable and get a decent looking property estimate that actually converges. Whereas at the lower resolutions of our previous data, you have to apply a lot more in order to keep it from becoming unstable. Iteration structure is similar. Obviously, as I said, the spatial filtering and conjugate gradient iterations kind of working against each other. At low resolution, you can see that if you're applying a lot of things, the subzone loop's effectively unregularized if you don't have total variation on. So you've got a lot of potential for instability. If you kind of push it too far, it starts trying to fit noise, and then when you're switching around. So these, you start to lose symmetry, and it doesn't look so good. But then that happens a bit later with higher resolution motions. Total variation minimization, this doesn't really change between the resolutions, so I just showed some representative cases. This is far too much, this is probably too much, and then these lower levels of lower weightings have basically no effect. So we want to choose something that doesn't tell it, that kind of helps to stabilize the solution, but then doesn't overly smooth it. So something in between these two is probably around about right. So finally, this is the actual result. So I kind of combined them all, did a bit of iteration, and then we sort of decided that this is our standard inversion. So you can see these are quite smooth. And we've drawn in the different locations of a few different brain structures from a segmentation. And then you can see that we get much higher resolution properties. There's a possibility we pushed it a bit too far, that maybe we're into the zone of maybe becoming slightly unstable. So you could dial it back a bit. Obviously, we want to look at like a repeatability study, so collect multiple data sets and make sure we're getting the same answer for each organ. But you can kind of like, if you use your imagination, you can see that a lot of these kind of structure boundaries are like showing up on actual structure of the image. And then, so we're hoping that these will give us kind of more specific, particularly as we're moving to looking at property estimates of like much smaller structures. So in conclusion, basically if you have higher resolution motion data, it allows us to use much lower regularization in our inverse problem, and we can get much higher resolution properties. And if we carefully select some inversion parameters, it looks like we can get resolutions on the order of about 3 millimeters for our effective property images. So we can definitely see much smaller brain structures. And there's other methods that we could improve resolution. We're just doing single frequency here. A lot of groups do multi-frequency, and Eli Van Houten has a talk later on using nonlinear inversion with multi-frequency. So if you've got more data sets, you've got more data, so hopefully you can get better resolution out. And also multi-direction, which Aaron has showed, and then reducing model data mismatch by trying to use better models. So like anisotropy would be a really big deal, because there's obviously strong NRS attribute that's causing model data mismatch, which is errors, which is basically poor resolution, if you ask me. And so thanks for listening, and I'll take any questions.
Time for questions.
You at higher resolution, you've got lower signal to noise ratio just because your voxels are smaller. This is kind of achievable. But basically, you've just got more numbers, more measurements. So you're fitting a certain number of mechanical properties, and then if you've got more measurements to compare them against, then you probably need to regularize less. There's less chance of fitting noise. You know, that's kind of what happens when it becomes unstable, is you start to fit noise. So if you've got like a small piece of noise, you start to put like a really, really soft spot and a really, really stiff spot right beside each other. So it doesn't really have much effect outside of that, but it pushes that one node over. And then when the next subzone gets hold of it, it's like way off. And then you kind of smooth it a little bit. If you don't smooth it enough, then it starts off at this wrong property and it starts to try to fit more noise. So it's basically just fitting noise. And the more measurements you have in a particular spatial region, the more kind of averaging effect of noise you have, I think. Yeah, definitely. Eli Van Houten will be talking about that later. So we can definitely use multiple frequencies, and it's definitely very helpful. You can kind of try and remember the resolution of these and compare it to what he shows.
Is that thing being published to show adding some more frequency information to your pipeline?
I don't think we've published it yet, but it will be. We have the capability there, and we can definitely do it.